This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين قال الله عز وجل في محكم تنزيله بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله مولانا العظيم Respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The month of Ramadan is about to dawn upon us, and it would only be wise of us to be prepared in every way possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us fasting as a pillar of Islam, one of the most fundamental integrals of our deen. And as such, not only does Allah ta'ala say, you must fast, He says, it has been prescribed for you. It has been written for you. A prescription is generally something that is given for your own good. When we go to the doctor, we don't look at the prescription as something burdensome or something difficult. We appreciate it because it's going to be for our, inshallah, for our better health. So when Allah introduces the concept of fasting to us, He also attributes it to those who came before us, explaining, as He does in other places in the Quran, that worshipping Allah hasn't changed over millennia. It's taken slightly different forms, but inevitably there were prayers, there was fasting, there was devotion, there was places of worship, etc. And fasting just adds to that list. Now Ramadan needs a proper battle plan. Last week we spoke about the battle plan against the nafs. And we spoke about the three different ways that we can actually train the nafs, especially in Ramadan. We spoke about mukhalafatun nafs, mujahadatun nafs, and muhasabatun nafs. So that was in relation to what we can expect for our spiritual development in the month of Ramadan. And I started off with that as opposed to a practical everyday approach, because the most important development in Ramadan is our spiritual development. That is the objective of Ramadan. And if we fail in that regard, then any other sort of preparation that we do basically becomes useless. The person who prepares themselves in a practical sense by making sure that they have the proper food and that they have groceries in the cupboard and so forth for the month of Ramadan, that's all good and well. But if you miss the objective, then you've missed a great deal. So the following are some ways in which we can actually prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan in a very practical sense. And I've listed five. The first is to deliberately and especially make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a successful Ramadan. Now this sounds so simple, but I know that many of us neglect to do this. Like right now, if you ask, Have I conversed with Allah up until this point and asked Allah, oh Allah, grant me a successful Ramadan, grant me good health so that I can fulfill my obligations in Ramadan, and more than that, the supererogatory prayers like the Taraweeh, and more than that, that I'm able to give charity and that I'm able to attend the masjid, etc., etc., for the month of Ramadan. Because not asking Allah is practically insane, right? We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By asking Allah, we have stated our own objectives, we've gained assistance from the divine, and we made it clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are serious about our self-development in the month of Ramadan. So pray to Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have prayed albeit not the most authentic of narrations, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So the narration is weak, but for the purposes of recitation of the dua, it's perfectly fine. And just to acknowledge that there is in fact this narration. And many people, I mean, all over we read this dua, we hear this dua. Oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab, bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. So in that, there's no specific mention of what he's asking Allah Ta'ala about Ramadan. He's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he's teaching us to pray for Ramadan ahead of Ramadan. And then there's another prophetic supplication. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Wasallim Ramadana lana. Wasallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Right? Sometimes they recite this in a jika and then the words change a bit. But what does it mean? Allahumma, oh Allah, sallimna li Ramadan. Keep us safe for the month of Ramadan. Wasallim Ramadana lana. Keep Ramadan safe and special for us. Wasallimhu lana mutaqabbala. And allow us to reach it in a way that it will be accepted from us. So, without looking at exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, or the details and how it's different to what we perhaps want to ask for, we know that it would be recommended to pray to Allah and ask Allah for what we want to achieve in this Ramadan. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to go and see the moon, went to go and sight the moon, which is why it's sunnah, right, to sight the moon, not just for the mankakers like our honorable imam here, but it's actually sunnah for everyone. If you've never done this, it would be a good time to go, inshallah. I think the last 2 years it was a bit tricky to do so, but now it should be much better. So sighting of the moon, and then the point here is the supplication, the dua that is sunnah to recite upon the sighting of the moon. Allahumma ahillahu alayna. O Allah, allow the moon to shine upon us. Bil amni wal iman, with safety and in faith. Was salamati wal islam, and with peace and tranquility and in submission to you. Wa tawfiqi lima tuhibbu rabbana wa tarda. I think I might be getting one or two words there incorrect. But, and grant us the ability to do that which is pleasing to Allah, wa tarda, and that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, in this, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not just connecting us to the physical act. Okay, sight the moon, tomorrow we must fast. It's not just that. It's not just an indicator. It's a connection to the spiritual activity that's taking place on a deeper level. So he's actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, allow this moon to bring with it ahillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wa salam. All of these applications, oh Allah, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, keep us safe for Ramadan. Keep Ramadan safe for us. Oh Allah, amni wal iman, safety, faith, salama, peace, wal islam. It's all related to this one theme, and that is preservation and security for a successful Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Allah for this. How many Ramadans have gone by wherein, you know, a few days in, and then all of a sudden we're sick. Maybe we can't fast. Maybe we can't attend Taraweeh. And then that's usually an impediment for many people to not attend at all for the rest of the month. Because, yeah, I was sick on the second night, so I can't go on the 25th night. I'll go again on the 27th night. But legitimate reasons are also there. Some people genuinely become sick. And that's not a bad thing. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ideally, we want to have good health so that we can fulfill our Ramadan in a good way. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah grant that to us. Number two, shukr. To show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one shows thanks not just by saying thank you. You know, we've mentioned this before. Shukr has different levels. The first one is just to express our thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. You know, all praise and thanks is due to Allah who has allowed us to live another year. And assuming that Allah Ta'ala will allow us to live till Ramadan. Thank Allah for that. Thank Allah for the blessing of Ramadan. Thank Allah for the blessing of the Quran. Why is this so important? Specifically for when the month comes, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a big deal of the arrival of the month of Ramadan. And again, there are several narrations, not all of which are authentic, but this one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba, the month of Ramadan has come to you. It is a blessed month. Allah has made it obligatory upon you to fast during this month. The gates of heaven are opened in this month. The gates of hell are closed in this month. The devils are chained in this month. There is a night better than 1,000 months. Whosoever is deprived of its blessings is indeed deprived of goodness. This is in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i. Then there's another one that's there's differences of opinion about its authenticity, but the Prophet ﷺ speaks to the Sahaba on the last day of Sha'ban and gives a similar address. And that's the one in which he's reported to have said that the first of it is Rahmah, the second of it is Maghfirah, the third of it is salvation from the fire. Scholars have differed about this. Some regard it as very weak, others regard it as weak, others have claimed that it is acceptable. Allah knows best. I believe that, you know, it's fine, but the message shouldn't be that we, you know, the first 10 days we only focus on Rahmah and so on and so forth. I believe Rahmah is throughout Ramadan, Maghfirah is throughout Ramadan, and salvation of the fire. You know, all of these blessings exist throughout Ramadan. But the point here is not the hadith or its specifications. By the way, those who regard it as acceptable, they say that, well, it just means that there's more possibilities of Rahmah, more possibilities of Maghfirah, and more of itkum minan nar. Wallahu a'lam. The point that I'm trying to make is, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam announced the coming of Ramadan. Now this is somewhat built into our culture. We see, we hear the radio station, they change their themes, the sounds change, our daily habits change. So in a way, we do announce the coming of Ramadan. Everybody's listening to the radio, waiting for Imam, or waiting for who's the Hakim? Sheikh Ahmed Hendricks to make the announcement, you know, that the moon has been sighted, or that it hasn't been sighted, or that we're about to fight with one another again about whether it was sighted or not. You know, this is something that we all tune into because we want to know, do we attend Taraweeh or not? But more important than an announcement, more important than a communal embracing of Ramadan is our own personal approach to how to welcome this month of Ramadan in with shukr. With shukr. Because this entire point is about gratitude and being happy about its coming. It's a very simple reason. La in shakartum la azidannakum. If we are from among those who welcome Ramadan with open arms and we are happy and elated for its arrival, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us in those blessings and we'll become more and more happy with the blessings of Ramadan. But on the other hand, if we are from among those who, you know, they said the moon is being sighted and you're thinking, oh man, I really wanted to have lunch tomorrow. You know, I'm going to have to cancel that meeting there. Nou moet ons weer Taraweeh toe gaan elke aan. Shah. Swaar man. No. That type of attitude is not going to give us access to the blessings of Ramadan. Right? We may get blessings of Ramadan, but it's going to be a very different experience to the one who welcomes Ramadan and makes it a happy occasion. Now, it's more problematic than we imagine in our context, right? And I'm speaking here from personally, I've seen this with my own daughter, right, growing up, that we live in a society where occasions of kufr and shirk are highlighted and celebrated, whether we like it or not, in our faces, right? Easter comes up, the shops are full. Christmas comes up, Christmas decorations, right? A three-year-old, regardless of how Muslim the household must be, will know a few Christmas carols and will know what Christmas is and a Christmas tree and Santa Claus and amal di dinga. But what is there for Eid, right? Now we can claim, okay, there's the radio station and there's this and there's that. Is that enough, right? We need to create environments of Ramadan. It needs to be clear. I would go as far as saying, if you want to decorate your home by painting it, putting up some flowers, having some, you know, signpost, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak. Somebody's going to say this is all bid'ah. Yes, it is. It's a very good one. You know, welcome the month of Ramadan and make it a big deal so that our children and our family can understand that this is an important time of the year for us. Is this the objective of Ramadan? No, not at all. Not at all. But it adds to the way we feel about Ramadan. It needs to be a very pleasant experience. You need to create an environment in which your children ask about, when is it Ramadan again? Right? And don't only do that with the unhealthy cookies at Bukka time. Do that in other ways also, right? Let them look forward to the month of Ramadan. Like, for example, growing up, many of us received money for fasting. You know, when we fasted half day, and you receive, okay, back then, maybe a 2 rand 50 for the day. If you fasted whole day, maybe a 5 rand for the day. Some of the kids listening to this right now are going to be laughing. But, you know, that was sufficient at the time. Then on Eid day, your money comes and, oh, you're so proud because now you already planned out on what you're going to be purchasing. This was a very creative way to celebrate the month of Ramadan. Here in the Cape of Good Hope, there's a beautiful tradition of families sending their kids to the neighbor's home with a plate of treats for iftar time. And seeing this, you know, before Maghrib time, it's a beautiful sight. Children are dressed in their thobes and in their abayas and so forth, taking the cookies around, and they look forward to that as well. Let us not allow these traditions to die down. There's no reason for it, okay? Whatever safety issues and so forth need to be done in order to ensure the safety of our children, bismillah, but don't let them die out because it adds to the celebration of Ramadan. Number three, planning and determination. The other day, I in fact spoke to my wife. I said, look, we need to sit down because when the announcement is made that the moon has been sighted, or when we sight the moon, let's say it in that way, there must be no wondering, okay, now, where are we going to go to Taraweeh tonight? What are we going to have for suhoor tomorrow morning? Oh, what time is Fajr so we know what time to wake up? What time is Maghrib so we know what time to start getting ready? No, those things need to be known now already, right? And it's very easy. You just look at the calendar. I'm sure the calendars are available. And we plan now already. As simple as it may be, this will cause that sense of panic, that sense of turbulence right at the beginning where everything starts off and it's so hurried. That will abate those feelings, inshallah. And that's important so that we can redirect our focus on that which is more important. And that's, again, our spiritual development, right? The moment they say the moon has been sighted, we must be ready with our Quran in front of us to start reciting. We must be ready to be sitting in dua, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be ready with our plan of how much adhkar am I going to be making per day? How many ajazah of the Quran, or rather, how much time am I going to be spending with the Quran per day? What exactly am I going to do? Am I only going to be reciting? Am I going to be attending a tafsir series? Am I going to be sitting with some literature to improve my knowledge on the Quran? Which masjid or masajid am I going to be attending? You know, where can I get a good spiritual experience for Salatul Taraweeh? Not where they make the quickest. That's not the point. Remember, this is a sunnah salah, right? It's a sunnah salah. You don't have to do it, but you want to do it because you want to get the maximum from the month of Ramadan. So it doesn't make sense. I want the maximum, but I want the minimum maximum, you know? Be that as it may, rather go there where they make quicker than not go at all. I just want to say that also, okay? But more important than the speed would be the quality, right? Go where the Quran is recited beautifully. Where it is recited beautifully. And where you get some advice, some nasiha that is going to add value to your day, that is going to enrich your experience of the month of Ramadan. But the point here, number three, is planning and determination. Knowing exactly how we're going to be spending the month of Ramadan. For the males, are we going to be making i'tikaf this year? It's now very much a possibility, I think, across the world. Even in the Haram of Makkah and Medina, i'tikaf has been reopened now in Ramadan for the first time in 2 years, right? I know at least 2-3 people who have gone on Umrah. Alhamdulillah, Uncle Yusri is also going on Umrah with his mother. Make dua for them, inshallah. They're leaving on Sunday. This is because people have been thinking about, you know, how are we going to make the most of this month of Ramadan? Have a proper plan. For the gentlemen again, don't have the first night of Bukka coming and then we're wondering what time must we now leave for the masjid. Some masajid, like this masjid, generally has a delay in the time of Aisha, because it takes time for people to travel here. Generally, people live outside. Know that. Whichever masjid you're going to, go and find out what exactly that time is. Like, what time do you need to leave after iftar time? How can you fit in maybe Salatul Awwabin between Maghrib and you're coming to the masjid? Maybe you can fit in the recitation of a quarter juz of the Quran that time. That way you have less to recite when you come home, and you have less to recite during the day. If you are working at, you know, at an office or the like, or workplace, then how are you going to change your commuting to and from work, whereby it's no longer just commuting, it's commuting in Ramadan. So you have earphones maybe. Maybe you need to buy some earphones, so you're listening to lectures, you're listening to qira'ah on your way back. This is what planning and determination is. Like a real plan that you've written down or seriously sat down and thought about, that would maximize how you spend the days and nights of Ramadan. What time are you going to bed at night? What time are you going to wake up in the morning? What time do you plan on waking up for tahajjud? Can you not make tahajjud every night? Okay, which nights can you make tahajjud? Let's set your alarms. I'm sure you know that your smartphones, you can set repeated alarms for the entire month. You can set alarms to go off at specific times for the entire month. Use that. Right? An alarm that goes off when it's time to recite Quran, an alarm that goes off when it's time to wake up, an alarm that goes off when it's time to go to the masjid, etc. But the point is, don't just let the month come and then, that type of attitude, we'll see what happens. Rather, plan, because the planning will assist us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Number four, very important, and I think many people neglect this, but that is learning the rules of fasting, the ahkam al-siyam. And if you've already learned the rules of fasting, then revise the rules of fasting, right? Kitab al-siyam in our fiqh is not a very long chapter to learn and to study. And I'm sure that in our lives we would have gone through some of it or all of it at one stage or the other. But remember, Ramadan comes around once a year. Right, and that once a year, we learn these things again, we hear these things, we revise these things again. But chances are we would have forgotten some of those things since last year. So you do revision, right? Alhamdulillah, even, you know, scholars and students of deen, I'm a student of deen, right? I've studied Kitab al-Siyam from various books at various levels. Every Ramadan, I open up my books again and I quickly go through the masail, whether that's for the purposes of teaching or answering questions, but that's important, right? And of course, people ask questions, but other than just asking a question about something that you need. For example, somebody may come and they ask the question, Malina, taking the vaccine, the booster, does it break my fast? Doesn't it break the fast? No, brother, it doesn't break the fast. It's intravenous. It doesn't go through an open orifice in the body. Okay, fine. Now he knows that answer. He goes away. So he knows that one thing, because he was worried about that one thing. But what about the things that he's not worried about? He doesn't even know. You know, there's something to know about that, right? A small example. Witr Salah. It is recommended to make Witr Salah in Jama'ah in the month of Ramadan after Taraweeh, if you are not going to be making Tahajjud that night. But it's more recommended to delay your Witr Salah till after Tahajjud if you know you're going to be waking up for that. Now, if you don't know that this even exists, it's never going to cross your mind to ask the question, and thus you're never going to know. So open up a book of fiqh. Better still, don't open up a book of fiqh. Sign up for a class. There are many pre-Ramadan seminars, online courses, etc. But revise the rules of fasting. And then, number five, and this is the last one. Plan your charity, generosity, and kindness in the month of Ramadan. Right? Now, this comes from the hadith about how the Prophet ﷺ used to spend his nights in Ramadan with his teacher. Who's his teacher? Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So the hadith reads that the Prophet, it actually begins like this. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam ajwada an-nas. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most generous of all people. Now, we don't have time to get into this stuff, but that statement is profound in and of itself, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not considered to be wealthy. He was not considered to be wealthy. Today we think, when we think about generous people, we think straight wealthy people. But generosity is not about how much you give. It's also in relation to your attitude of giving And how much you give in proportion to what you have. Right? A person who's sitting with a billion, and he gives, say for example, he gives a Majid a half a million, that's nothing for him. Right? That's pocket change. But the person who's sitting with a million, and he gives the Majid a half a million, now that is 50% of his money right there. You understand? But that's just one dimension. It's also related to the person's sincerity and the person's intention behind why they are giving and the manner. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So this hadith reads, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be the most generous of people. وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. But the most generous that you would ever find Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the month of Ramadan. When? حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلِ. When Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam used to meet with him in the nights of Ramadan. فَكَانَ جِبْرِيلِ يَلْقَاهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانِ يَتَدَارَسَهُ الْقُرْآنِ. أو كما قال. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam used to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every night in Ramadan. And what would they be doing? They would be studying the Quran. They would be studying the Quran. So basically what was happening is, whatever was revealed of the Quran up until that particular Ramadan, they would spend the nights in Ramadan revising that. The entire revelation from beginning till where they were. And then in the last year of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did this process twice. They did this process twice. And during those meetings, or rather as a result of those meetings, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam increased in generosity, where he was described, فَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He became more generous than the rain bringing fecundating winds. Now, for an agrarian society, that means that the rain, the wind after which rain comes. Here in the Mediterranean Cape, it is what? The northwesterly wind. When the northwesterly wind blows, then technically that means likely after that we're going to experience rain. We don't really know this or follow this or, you know, regard this as important because we're not living in agricultural-based societies. But people who do, that wind is like a good news announcement. Bushra lakum, this wind is coming, rain is coming, right? Of course it still is, but we're just not aware of it. Now imagine they describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the rain bringing winds during that time of his generosity in the month of Ramadan. Can we imagine like just how generous he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because generosity in the month of Ramadan, as with everything else, is multiplied in rewards. It's multiplied in rewards. We have to think about it as times of investment. You know, like in the stock markets, when the prices of a particular stock that's in demand goes down, people buy because it's the time to buy, right? Or in the housing market, I forget what's the property, right? When the prices, like now people are saying it's a buyer's market, you know, buy. Because it's a season to buy. And then you get the season to sell again. You know, when you're going to reap the fruits of your investment. That's how you must think of Ramadan. How can I invest in the best way in this month of Ramadan? We need to be looking for ways to spend our money and thinking of ways how we can wisely spend in Ramadan. Not waiting for ways to come to us. We need to be searching for ways, right? There are many fundraisers and things going on, but the believer who takes the time to actually think about, okay, look, I would like to spend money in sadaqatun jariyah. I would like to spend money in the education of kids. I'd like to spend money in the development of infrastructure for the masjid. I'd like to spend money. There are various ways we can spend. Try to be creative in the way you spend money, right? In the month of Ramadan. Like for example, very few people think of, oh, I'm going to sponsor a student of deen. And this is a person studying deen full time. I'm going to find a person underprivileged, a deserving recipient, and sponsor his studies. Do you know what type of investment that is? Allahu Akbar. Like, that's an amazing investment. Because that person is going to have a career of learning and teaching and preaching the deen of Islam, inshallah. All of that reward is going to be coming to you and that person. Nobody gets decreased. And not just that person, but that person's students, and their students' students, and their students' students, all the way till Qiyamah. What an investment that is, right? That's just one example. I know there's building the masjid and all of these things, but we've heard of those things. Think creatively about how to spend your money during the month of Ramadan. Now already we need to know what percentage of our wealth is going to be allotted to sadaqah. And not just zakatul fitr, that's zakah, that's obligatory. Sadaqah, extra. We need to be looking for extra in the month of Ramadan. You can spend your money in a good way now already for Ramadan. There, Uncle Ihsan is sitting with a sign on his chest, dates for sale. That, you know, buying dates at the masjid as an example is spending in Ramadan because all the money is going to be for the Ramadan activities of the masjid. We need to be thinking about ways to maximize what we can gain out of Ramadan. Lastly, let us not forget where we came from. Every Ramadan, I become very, very emotional at the beginning when I think of, I'm very fortunate to have my mother still alive, alhamdulillah. Allah grant her a long life and good health, and all of our parents who are still alive. But I think about my father who I lost about 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. And I think about how he trained me, rahimahullah, for the month of Ramadan, right? Preparing us for Taraweeh, taking us to Taraweeh, scaling us out if we don't go to Taraweeh, you know, those type of things. They planted the seeds that we are reaping the fruits of today, our parents, and our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, all the way up. There are people who contributed to your Islam today, and they are no longer with us. They are in the qabr, perhaps for one Ramadan, perhaps for 10 Ramadans. They can still benefit from our supplications and our du'as. So before the month of Ramadan comes, if you have the time, go and visit the qabr of your parents. Go and recite for your parents, right? When you give sadaqah in Ramadan, don't just give sadaqah with amazing intentions. Give sadaqah for the sake of your father, for the sake of your grandfather, ala al-marhumin, all the believers who had passed on. When you recite your Quran, make dua for your parents, make dua for those who contributed to the beauty of Islam that you practice today. Just don't forget where you came from, right? And it brings about inside of you a sense of wanting to make them proud, even though they left this world before. You really want to make them proud in the way you practice fasting and in the way you observe the month of Ramadan. It's very important that we understand this, right? People often think of sadaqah jariyah only in terms of money, right? But do you know that you are a sadaqah jariyah of your parents? That any good that they instilled within you, other than the money they spent on you with food and so forth, but the time, the effort, the love, the devotion, the attention that they poured into your life to make sure that you make salah, to make sure that you fast, to make sure that you recite Quran, to give you the education to be able to recite Quran, they are rewarded with every single moment of that. So for the very least, can't we just raise our hands and pray for them? I would go as far as saying we should be praying for our parents in every single salah, but especially before the month of Ramadan dawns upon us. Everybody runs to the graveyard on La Barang Day. Fine, good and well. But before you even enter the month of Ramadan, go pay your dues, right? Pay your respects. Make dua for them. If you can't visit the maqbara, fine, no problem. But sit and make sincere supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant all of our parents Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah make us have a blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah grant that those who had passed on and contributed to our Ramadan and our practice of Islam, may Allah grant them all the rewards of anything good that we do in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us for Ramadan, preserve Ramadan for us, and make it an accepted Ramadan. Ameen. May Allah make this Ramadan that's coming, may Allah first and foremost grant us life till that Ramadan. And may this Ramadan that's coming be enough for each and every one of us to enter Jannah without any reckoning. May we achieve every blessing of Ramadan, every harf of the Quran's reward, every sajda, every ruku, every adhan, every iqama, every qiyam, every taraweeh, every tahajjud, every i'tikaf. May we receive all that reward, and may this ummah be uplifted during this month of Ramadan coming. May the doors of Allah's blessings open up upon our hearts. May the doors of Jannah be opened up for us. May the doors and the gates of Jahannam be forever locked upon us. May we succeed in our spiritual development and importantly in our love and proximity to Him, Jalla Jalalu, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brother Junaid, Jaim is also here. His wife just gave birth. No? going to give birth. Inshallah, Allah grant an easy birth, a successful birth, and may you have all the success. Please keep him in your du'as as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad.